Wow, what a little confluence of events. I had an incredible conversation that I did not intend to have with anyone yesterday. And it... it started off and it involved St. Michael the Archangel, and then it just kind of devolved or evolved from there. Until it became, we came upon the discussion, and this again was not something that that I intended to talk. I didn't intend to talk to this guy. He called me out of the blue to ask me a question about a previous order that we had placed. He's the guy that does the St. Michael comic book, Shanti Guy. And he was letting me know that he's got a new edition of the St. Michael comic book, which we will have in the Founders Trade and Post store. And it's part of a 9-part series that he and another guy are doing on the history of the miracle of St. Michael in the cave in Galgano, Italy. In any event, we're talking about this, and he had not heard. How is it possible that someone would not have any knowledge of the shooting in Nashville on Monday? Well, people that don't live and die by the news cycle, apparently, and don't live with social media and smartphones glued to their hips, maybe that's out, because he goes, I seriously, I have not heard this. And I was explaining it to him, and he's like, oh my, you know, of course he has children, so it's very upsetting. And then I said something about that and we'll play this from Tucker Carlson. It's something that we have been talking about for many, many years, all the way back to the Mandalay Bay shooting in 2017. Was it 2017 or 2018? I always forget the date. It's Halloween, right? It's October 30th or 31st, 2017. Guy's name was Stephen Paddock. Goes to the 37th floor of the Mandalay Bay Casino, and he has been bringing all this ammo up there for over the course of a month. And a tripods for very high-powered semi-automatic weapons that he intends to use. And he's waiting for this concert, and then the concert goes on, and then he just starts unloading rounds from the 37th floor. And they can't get into the room to stop him because he's barricaded himself in. In any event, the FBI and the Las Vegas Police Department closed the case as unsolved, because they said that they could not figure out a motive. Well, why would he do this? And they investigated the guy's entire life, supposedly, and then they closed the case and said, we don't know why this guy did this. And, of course, at the time I said, I can tell you why he did it. I don't know exactly why he did it. And we pieced together the timeline of where he had gone and what he had done and what he was doing with his life. And concluded, well, the dude had made a deal with the devil. The guy was a poster. He was a postman. He worked for the post office. Yet he was going to casinos in Reno, flying to them on private planes that he owned, or on a private plane that he had purchased, and he was running up $50,000 markers a day. In any event, the dude made a deal with the devil. I know what people are going to say.
This is their plan, people. These are demons. Just like the Bible says, it's basically an intergalactic invasion into this space through people. I'm telling you, it's what all the ancients said. It's what they warned of. It's what we're dealing with. They're demons. They're frickin' interdimensional invaders, okay? I'll just say it. Make fun of me all you want on CNN or wherever, but everyone already innately knows this. These people are not frickin' humans, okay? Hillary Clinton is a goddamn demon.
So, this is the conclusion that I reached. I actually wrote a piece. I should go and republish this on stuff. You know what? I think I'm going to do that today, because I have a very lengthy piece coming out later on today. TheKingDude.substack.com. I'm going to write about this, about Audrey Elizabeth Hale. So already the Nashville Police Department and the FBI are out there going like, well, we don't have a motive. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I'll tell you what, you want a motive? I'll tell you what the motive is. The motive is the same as Major Nadal Hassan. So, okay, I'm bouncing around a bit here. Let me get back to the story with Shanti Guy, the artist. He tells me, I can't remember exactly how it came up. I know it. I mentioned Frank Frazetta. And he goes, oh, the death dealer murders. And I went, what's the death dealer murders? And he goes, you never heard of the death dealer murders? And I said, no. I know the death dealer painting from the Molly Hatchet album. How many of you remember the Molly Hatchet album cover with it's a demon-looking warrior dude sitting on a horse. His eyes are glowing red. And he's got a scythe in his hand. It's some kind of a Shire horse. There's an actual breed of horse. It's a very famous painting. It was done for the cover of a book, I want to say. And then there's fantasy novels that were all the rage in the 60s and 70s. And Frank Frazetta was a very famous artist. Is Frazetta still alive? I think he died. In any event, the Death Dealer painting is very famous. There are probably hundreds of thousands of posters still hanging up on people's walls in various places of the Death Dealer, the painting. Maggie can throw you a picture of it up in the chat room. But what I did not know, and I learned this yesterday, Frazetta's son was a con artist who was fleecing his father by claiming he had the right, the license to take Frazetta artworks and license them for people to use them to make posters or figurines or whatever they wanted to do with them. And in this case, the United States Army Corps 3, Roman numeral 3, the Army Corps 3 makes a deal, commissions, basically, the use of Frank Frazetta's Death Dealer painting to make a statue, a real life. And this thing is larger than life. If you see the original statue, it's bigger than the Death Dealer would actually appear if he were on that Shire, I forget what the breed of that horse, that Shire horse. In any event, that statue is commissioned, it's made, and then it is installed on the grounds at Fort Hood. So we had to do a little research on this, and here you go. This is from 4/19/2010, Death Dealer Statue at Heart of Frazetta Dispute. And so there's a lawsuit involved where Frank Sr. is now suing Frank Jr., and Frank Jr. is countersuing St. Frank Sr. This is back in 2010. And you get this, just want to get to the history. The suit alleges that Frank Jr. told the United States Army he was authorized to create a life-size statue of Frank Sr.'s well-known work, Death Dealer, in 2009. The statue was made for the United States Army's Three Corps headquarters. Now that's very important here as I flesh this out. One, two, three. Roman numerals 3. United States Army's Three Corps headquarters at Fort Hood, Texas, as a symbol of its heavy maneuver force. And I'm going like, if you look at the Death Dealer painting, the eyes are glowing red. A warrior's eyes don't glow red. A demon's eyes glow red. And for those of you, as am I, that are fans of Frazetta, I'm not accusing Frank Frazetta of anything. I'm not saying he was a Satanist or a demon worshiper or anything. He was hired to paint fantasy. He was hired to paint and to depict certain things that could never happen, like a death dealer, okay? So please don't draw the wrong conclusions. As a matter of fact, when I was a little cheering in high school, I had very expensive. I mean, I had to save money up to go to the bookstore and buy these things. Books, collections of Frazetta's artwork. And they had full-color prints in there. There were black and white sketches, pen and ink sketches that he'd done, but a lot of full-color prints. I had some Frazetta posters. I didn't have a death dealer. I might have even tried to mimic or try to imitate some Frazetta art. I was so fascinated by it because it was a genre of art. Boris Vallejo paints in these same circles. If you know who Boris is, if you don't know who Boris is, Boris did the movie poster for the first Vacation movie with Chevy Chase holding the tennis racket up and stuff. That's a Boris. In any event, this brings us to 2009 and Fort Hood. The statue was made for the United States Army's Three Corps headquarters in Fort Hood, Texas, as a symbol of its heavy maneuver force. Statue depicts an armored 6'6" warrior wielding a menacing hatchet and astride an imposing Shire draft horse. The art became the adopted symbol of the Army's Three Corps in 1985. The Death Dealer statue was unveiled at a ceremony in Fort Hood. Now listen to this. On September 15, 2009, just 3 weeks before, an Army psychiatrist opened fire on the base, killing 13 and injuring 30. And then there, the rest of this is about the lawsuit. I'm just focusing here on the fact that the Death Dealer statue, which is very easily, because of what it is, and because of what it depicts, is a contact object. A giant contact object. Now, I realize that different parts of the United States Army and different special ops groups have their different mascots. And I don't have an issue with that. I really don't have an issue with the Army's Three Corps. But isn't that a coincidence that the Three Corps, as in the Trinity Corps, would adopt a depiction of either a possessed warrior or a demon sitting astride a horse with glowing red eyes?
Why not three divine natures?
Why not three divine... Wait, Maggie, what was it?
Nothing.
She's... Of course, the Trinity is the symbol. You're right, the three divine natures, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But just remember yesterday, Brother Andre Marie was talking, and I started reading it, and I can't wait to read more. St. Augustine's meditations on the Gospel of St. John, which is filled with all this. Augustine was fascinated with numbers. He thought that numbers in the Gospel meant something, and he explained what he thought that they meant. He also thought that numbers that occurred in certain events in life meant something. And he was fascinated by them, and he tried to explain them. Now, this is St. Augustine. So is it a coincidence that the Army chooses, or someone in the Army chooses, the Three Corps chooses the Death Dealer? By the way, I realize that an Army's job is to blow things up and kill people. But you don't celebrate the killing. You lament the killing. You know, sometimes it's necessary. This is true. Violence is necessary. Wars are necessary sometimes. But you don't celebrate it. And so Shanti is telling me, he goes, there's not a lot written about this, but there are people that talk about it. And I've had many conversations about the fact that the Death Dealer statue arrived 3 weeks before Major Nidal Malik Hassan goes bananas, demon-inspired bananas, I will contend, and begins a murderous rampage through the officer corps halls at Fort Hood.
3 weeks, the number three.
3 weeks before the Army's Three Corps,
he kills 13
and injures 30. Now, I know. Miniature play! This is your worst and biggest Adam. Worst and biggest Alex Jones yet. Makes perfect sense to me. Hassan has been asked why. He's never given a reason. I went back and looked at the court the sentencing. He was sentenced to die. They sentenced him to death. It's true he was a Muslim. That puts him even closer to demons. That's carrying out a deal. By the by, you're at war at this point in time with Muslims. And you have someone that you're, and if you remember the story of Major Nidal Malik Hassan, you will remember that it was questioned, well, how in the hell did this guy become an officer, and why was he retained as a psychiatrist? Because the people that he had, that had been sent to him, the enlisted or whoever that were having mental issues that were being sent to him, they were reporting back that there's something was wrong with this guy. That he was a wacko. They seemed evil. Okay, so I bring this up because we don't have an explanation. There's no motive for Nidal Hassan. You want me to give you one? Deal with the devil, paid back in spades. Those numbers as they occur in the multiples of three and what have you, those are not coincidences. And when someone goes, how's that possible? Well, he went and killed 13 and then he stopped. Sure. And why 13? Because the holy number is 12. 12 apostles. 13, this goes all the way, by, and this is an old, it's not, that's a superstition. No, it's not. 13 is a cursed number. So somebody would go, well, how did he know to stop at 13? How did he know one of the ones that he shot that was the 30 injured? How did he determine between which one was going to be injured and which one was going to be shot? And how do you know that it was that? Preternatural assistance. I'm just fascinated by this, and I'm more fascinated by why hasn't anyone else put this together? I don't think this is a difficult one at all. You know, because people don't want to believe this. Because if you believe that the demons are actually this cunning and can actually compel or influence humans to carry out these kinds of atrocities, why wouldn't you believe then that they were capable of carrying them out with precision? They were angels. Angels in their spirit form are a higher form of life than us. Of course, they're different than us, but their intelligence, is, we're told, is superior to ours. Why wouldn't they be able to carry out their acts with precision? Same way with Audrey Elizabeth Hale making her way through that school. Again, why did she beg off the first target? Well, we're not going to know this until we find out what the first target was, which the MNPD is not saying. Oh, you know what it is?
No.
I still haven't seen it. By the way, a city council member in Nashville is saying they will release the manifesto after the FBI is done analyzing it.
That's a story.
So that is something that now... I don't know how the FBI becomes experts on all this stuff because in any event. Why does she beg off the first target? Why does she go to a school that she supposedly went to? And again, that's a new school, so it had to have been in another location because it was 16 years prior. These things don't start to add up. Until you start to add up, well, look at the child. Look at the woman's bedroom. Look at all the, like, you get the pride flag, you got the tranny flag, you got the NATO flag. The NATO flag is the confusing one. You got the socialism flag. You then have, and then for people go like, well, how do you know she was flirting around with demons? Oh, because she was reading Thrasher magazine. That's how I know. That's how it came up with Shanti Guy. I mentioned Thrasher, and you go, oh, whoa, that's a Satanist skateboard company. So this is going to be a very lengthy, maybe a multi-part series on Substack. How many of you know who Glenn Danzig is? Glenn Danzig is a very famous and very evil punk rocker. Or metal, I'm sorry, not a punk rocker, a metal rocker, a heavy metal rocker. It is well known that Danzig is a Satanist. Now, he keeps denying it, but he doesn't really deny it. Clinton has denied that. No, I read the interview. He did not deny it. He just changed the terminology. So Danzig apparently is one of the founders of Thrasher Magazine. What is Thrasher Magazine? And this is where Shanti Guy comes in, the author and the artist behind the St. Michael comics that we sell in the Founders Trading Post at shop.mikechurch.com. Volume 1 and Volume 2 are, well, Volume 1 should still be there. Maybe it's out of stock. But we have 20 copies coming and 20 copies of issue number 2. So Shanti tells me that Thrasher Magazine is well known in the black mass Satan-loving, Satan-worshipping community as one of theirs. Look at the Thrasher logo. Maggie can throw it up in the chat room. It's a pentagram where the bars go horizontal at the bottom of the pentagram, the horizontal bar, attached to a pair of skateboard wheels. Okay, if you don't look really close, you wouldn't catch it. It is a pentagram. What's coming out of the center of the pentagram? The head of Baphomet. What is on the head of Baphomet and the Thrasher logo? 666. These clues are hiding in plain sight. This stuff isn't hard to find. I mean, my lovely and crack producer over there, who is the waiter with bated breath to hear what you got to say. Candace discovered this on the second day, on Tuesday, when we were talking about this, by going through the Daily Mail slideshow and looking very closely, because of what she does, because she's an awesome producer, best in the world. And she goes, I found something, and it was on a photograph of Audrey Elizabeth Hale's car. And on the back of the car, in plain sight, is a Thrasher sticker. It wasn't just any Thrasher, that was a Thrasher Skateboard Magazine sticker. Which then led to the Thrasher Skateboard Magazine site, which then led to look at their actual logo, which is as I just described it. So when people say we don't know what the motive, I know what the motive was. I can tell you what the motive was. And also, Audrey Elizabeth Hale is mutilating God's creation of her body. She is committing what is, because she's an out lesbian, which I am assuming means she was out acting all lesbian EE and stuff, and she was out performing sins that cry out to heaven for vengeance. That's one of those sins. That is a contact. That's a portal. Ralph Sarchi has told us this. Mr. Kyle Clement told us this. So the demons have an easy go of it when they can find a mark that's doing those things. So when she goes to the school carrying out demonic instructions, when someone goes, well, how did you know to kill three? How did you kill 3 9-9-year-olds? And you say it's 999, tick, 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 inverted. Why didn't you? Blah, 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 blah? Again, demonic intellect and precision. By the by, the supervisor, we now know now that the supervisor of the school, of Covenant School, Covenant Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee, we now know that woman is a heroine. So the people that responded to this, and she was it is said that she was a very devout woman. She was on a Zoom call when she heard gunfire in the hallway. And again, what did the Christian hero do? She ran to the gunfire, and the chief of police, Chief Drake, right?
Chief. Yes, and he also mentioned in the article that's in your pile of prep that he believes that she did that to confront the shooter, to give the teachers time to get the students to safety, to where they needed to be in locked classrooms and so on and so forth. And the way she fell, he could tell that that's exactly what she did.
Yes, so I am assuming that the way she fell is that Audrey Elizabeth Hale popped one in her head, mm-hmm. which would knock her back. Okay, and she would have died then, eyes up, facing up. I don't know that, but just the way Chief Drake described it sounds to me. This woman is she's a hero. She heard the gunshot. She went into the hall. She saw and then confronted Audrey Elizabeth Hale, who then murdered her right there on the spot. But we also now know from Chief Drake that the school had actually practiced, they had drilled active shooter drills. Again, amidst this tragedy, you can also see God's providence in preparing them for what ultimately would happen. Because when the alarm went off, when the alarm was set, when the little girl went outside of her classroom, the first nine-year-old that was murdered, she pulled the fire alarm, and that's when that was. That's not the Scruggins girl, a Scoggins girl. That's the daughter of the preacher or the pastor. The other one who you were tweeting about, that other little girl, she went out into the hallway, pulled the fire alarm down. Another hero. Look at all the heroes here. A nine-year-old child did things that grown-ass men in Uvalde, Texas, would not do.
Evelyn
Dykhouse. Because we were trying to remember, find out yesterday, Dykhouse, how to pronounce her last name. So this story just keeps evolving. And to me, the more we put the pieces together, you have evil that is there to kill because it thinks it's making its master happy. It's making it's fulfilling its master's wishes. But those children die in the prime of their innocence. They're all baptized. Remember, even as Catholics, we recognize the Trinitarian form. It's valid. So I pray we should pray for the repose of those little girls, one boy and two girls' souls. These things aren't coincidences, folks. This evil is so ascendant, and it is so pissed off, and it is just reaping. It is devouring souls. And the pace that it's devouring souls is increasing. I'm not trying to scare you. This is not clickbait radio here. I'm just trying to give you a realistically based overview of what's really going on here. Let me take you to Exhibit B. And by the by, the cook. Why is the cook on the second floor? Why is Michael Hill on the second floor? Well, he's obviously because the kitchen is on the ground floor. So why is the chef on the second floor? Because it's obvious that that man is another hero who then ran toward the gunfire. And I'm just going to get, and I said this on Monday, on Tuesday's show, I don't know this, can't prove this, but my spidey sense is telling me that Mr. Hill got in between children who were fleeing or escaping and Audrey Elizabeth Hale and paid for it with his life. I think that kind of makes him a martyr of sorts. God's mercy, we pray for the repose of the soul of him as well. Now, we don't know how the other teacher was killed. Again, there are no coincidences here. The superintendent of the school, 6060. Mr. Hill, 6161. The other teacher, 6060. The number killed, 6. We better charge plane. You were still an active shooter. You were going to go kill more. She was in a room by herself. They got her in a library. That room is a library of sorts, or a study hall. There's a ginormous plate glass window right behind her. You can see on the video cam. She was in a room that had no one in it. There were no dead people in that room until she gets shot by Officer Engelbert and is killed. So, let me give you Exhibit B now. Maggie, throw up into the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat. I hope you're able to go to the chat room and follow along. The mass murder statistics for 2019 graphic image. So, in 2000, this guy put this graph together. He gathered, how do you define a mass murderer or a mass murder shooter? You have to kill 4. So if you killed 4 or more souls, then you are classified, that's how the FBI classifies them, as a mass murder shooter. In 2019, there were 146 mass murder shootings. Maggie can show, throw the graphic up there. I'll put all this in a Substack today for those of you that don't do the chat room. I hope you do read. And if you do read and you have this thing called the World Wide Web, follow me, thekingdude.substack.com. You want to throw me $70? I'd love to receive it because I write of my own free will and volition, and I don't get paid for it. Well, some of you are paid subscribers. And you can become a paid subscriber, thekingdude.substack.com. We also have an anonymous contributor who's contributing very regularly now, BJ Labre, who put a post up yesterday. So, in 2019, four-plus murders, these are people that have been charged and or convicted, 146. What happened at the end of 2019 and the beginning of 2020? The corona doom. Lockdown. People doing things that they otherwise would not be doing, like playing with Ouija boards. Like fraternizing and flirting around with all manner of sins because they're not at work. They can't leave their house. They've been told that they got to stay home. They're not praying. they're not saying Angelus at noon. Fast forward to 2021. In January of 2022, the same guy compiled the same statistics. And here's what we know for 2021. So in 2 years of the corona doom, lockdowns, masks, masking the Imago Dei, hiding and disguising yourself, living in fear and abject fear. These are all awful, awful things. 146 mass murders goes to 244. It's four more murders or more. 244. I know that there is a mathematical formula to get to what percent increase that is, and I actually know it. But I can't multitask, so I can't talk and do math at the same time. But one of you geniuses, what is the percent increase of 146 that then goes to 244? Again, I don't know. There is a formula to arrive at that. That should be setting alarm bells off. Fiorella was asking a question yesterday on the early show, which, again, I'm asking you to all start trying to listen. If you're up at 5 a.m. Central or 6 a.m. Eastern time, I think the early show is a great way to start your day. And, yes, she's English, and, yes, you're not going to agree when she does get into issues and stuff. You may not. She's not a tratty, if you will. She is brilliant. She has a beautiful voice and has a knack for great conversation. So, again, I encourage all of you listening to me, give Fiorella in the early show a shot because I think that you'll like it. As a matter of fact, not only will you like it, I think you may actually start going, well, maybe I'm going to hang out in the chat room and see what they're talking about here. Because a lot of guys are in there that do this. My Gaitas is in there every day. So is several other guys. When are we going to start treating mental illness seriously again? These people are mentally deranged. There are serious mentally ill people out there. And we're not taking them seriously. Instead, we want to attack guns. You want to attack with this. There's a woman on the Florida House of Representatives yesterday that actually said, school kids are being killed in schools because of my Republican colleagues. I'm like, Thomas Massie did not go into that school in Nashville and shoot anybody.
224, you said?
224.
And the number of people are
246. It's 146 in 2019 and then 244 in 2021. That is a shocking increase. When are we going to start taking mental health illness seriously? Because these people are mentally ill.